Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this man here is Marek Larwood.
I'm a man.
You are. No more today than ever before. That didn't make sense.
Welcome to the film podcast. It's in the middle of summer. It's it is a heatwave in London. It's over 1,000 degrees. People's faces are melting in the street.
It's very end of Raiders at the moment.
And there's a lot of drunk... I know it's coming into your flat. I'm sorry to paint this picture. There was a drunk bloke...
Was there?
Drinking meths or something out of a
winner's. Drinking meths?
You know when people wear their shirts up? So they... He rolled his vest up so his stomach was out.
Why? Does that cool you down?
Maybe he was in a film or something.
Maybe he was in a film. There used to be junkies asleep with their needles under my stairs when I first moved in here.
Oh, really? It sounds like I moved. First place I lived in Westbourne Park, where there was a crack addict who lived upstairs, and then a preacher used to read the Bible and substitute sort of religious words with swear words. And the crack addict jumped out the window one time after a police raid, and 2 weeks after I moved out, got murdered, shot in the head. Welcome to London.
Welcome to London.
And now, of course, that whole area is really gentrified.
Yeah.
And you have to own £500,000 to buy...
Well, they're very cleverly moving all of the crazy and underprivileged people out of town where we can't see them.
Well, that's what I'll have to move. Anyway, we're not talking about the housing problems in London, which I could talk about extensively. We're talking about films. We're probably the only people who actually went to cinema because no one's going anymore.
It's not great at the moment. I think they're hoping Guardians of the Galaxy will draw them back in, because it's a Marvel film, but it's not a superhero film. It's sort of space opera. That's going to be coming out in August.
I'm not going to watch that.
No.
We both went to see the same film this week.
Mm. Rare occurrence.
What did you go to see?
I went to see Boyhood, Richard Linklater's film.
I know what it's about, but... Why don't you describe what it's about for people listening, for the four people actually still listening in this summer blooming heat wave?
I know. You don't want your sweat up your ears with earbuds, do you? Well, basically, Boyhood is the story of a boy growing up from the age of 6 to 18 in America. But what is unique about this
rubbish.
Film...
It sounds rubbish.
It does, doesn't it?
But what, Wonder Years.
What is unique about this film is... the director spent 12 years making it. So they use the same actors from the age, and specifically the boy, from the age of 6 to 18. And that is a unique thing. I've not seen that before, where you genuinely feel like you've gone on that journey with him, because it is you've literally seen him grow from a boy into a man in front of your eyes.
It's such a risk, though, isn't it? Because you don't know... What if he dies?
Well, interestingly... Well, that's the thing. Then you're screwed, aren't you? But, interestingly, the boy... What's the character's name? The main character?
The main character's name is Mason.
Mason, that's right. I knew it was slightly weird and American. His sister, the girl who plays his sister, Sam, is the director's daughter.
Yes.
And she actually, about halfway through the process, got... bored of it and didn't want to be involved anymore.
Oh, really?
And asked her dad to kill her off, and he just said that would be totally wrong for the tone of this.
So she had a teenage tantrum, and then she came back into it.
Yeah, basically, and then she got back into it towards the end.
She realised as she
got older. She becomes less significant in the middle, and then comes back in. But the parents, listeners, are played by Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. I get confused between Ethan Hawke and Ethan Hunt, who is Tom Cruise's character in the Mission Impossible films.
I don't.
And who I thought was Robin Wright Penn all the way through, but it's Patricia Arquette.
Yes.
Who, and they're both brilliant in this, I think.
It's fascinating. It's, you know, when you're on, you just watch people, you can watch people age. I remember watching Barry Norman, who was who presented the film programme before they got non-film experts in the UK. And they once he did it for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And they showed him age each year. They just showed a picture of him, a clip, as he on his final show.
Did they gif it?
No, but you saw him. It was almost like he was just didn't, really, didn't really age. Then, like in the 70s, he would have one really bad year. And you think, what happened then? Because he's aged about 5 years and he not aged for a bit and then suddenly aged. It's fascinating watching the characters actually age and they seem round. I've got to say that they stole it for me, the parents. I haven't been a big fan, for new listeners, the drinking and chomping in the background is Buddy. That's him there. That's a perfect cue.
That's perfect cue. Well done. Good illustration.
David's dog, who's now come in to make some noise. I thought they were really great, the parents.
Really good.
As I was saying, Ethan Hawke, he's annoyed me when he played over sincere, like before Sunrise. Well, I can't remember which one it was. When he first came out, he was really overly sincere. I wanted to punch him in the face. But now as he's got older, I really liked him.
He's almost entering into a second Renaissance Paul Rudd style, where he could play that slightly douchey, charming man who knows exactly what a loser he is, and that makes him all the more charming. You know, I thought the parents sort of carried this. I mean, because the performance of Mason is perfect, but he is he's a typical sort of teenage boy who's a sort of passive observer of everything that's going on around him, and that's part of the point of the story, isn't it?
Well, I think that's
but it just means he's hard to know as a person.
What's fascinating about it is about a lot. You get the passage of time, which is always impossible to do in films accurately. And this, you actually see the whole. You see that Buddy's just sniffing my groin, so it's a little bit distracted. It is a genuine passage of time. Mm. And they do, rather than having all the big moments, they have these sort of small little moments which is, seem to tell the story of growing up better than the huge, overly dramatised.
And it never gets melodramatic. That's what I loved about it as well. But the tension that some life-changing event might happen is there throughout the entire film. There's a particular a scene for the first time you see Mason sort of getting drunk with his mates and bigger boys. And, you know, things that any boy will have probably experienced in their life. But you are genuinely going, oh no, what are they going to do?
I thought
there's a blade in the wall and then he's going to punch him into
exactly,
it. Everyone in the cinema thought the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
And I think it was totally intentional that they set that up.
I actually said, oh no, out loud to myself in the empty cinema.
They're making you feel like the parents would if they knew it had happened. You know?
Yeah.
And that, I thought it was an incredibly sophisticated bit of filmmaking he's done.
It was really different to everything else because it wasn't going for the big punching action, and yet it was far more fascinating and it felt like real, and that's more human.
Do you know what his process was, his method? Because he wrote Richard Linklater, because he wrote
it as
well.
Did he write it all as he was going along? Or what?
He did. He basically wrote one short film about this family every 12 years. And then just put them together.
Did he overshoot? I wonder whether he just shot quite a few scenes and went, actually, that one's more appropriate. Or how, because it must be a temptation to just shoot the shit out of it.
It must be, yeah.
Because you can never go back.
No. But
it might have to be awful if you do 10 years of it and you think, do you know what, it's rubbish. My biggest problem with it, which is my, as some listeners will know, I'm grumpy and I hate human beings, that teenagers are fundamentally boring. Mm. So the main character, Mason, becomes less and less interesting and more navel-gazing and annoying.
Yes.
And just has teenage conversations, which I don't know if you've ever heard any at the moment. It's just, I was like, so-and-so was like doing this, and I was like, doing this, and then I said to them this. That is essentially how interesting the conversation is. So as he gets older, he becomes a bit more boring, and I'd rather find out what's happening to the parents, because the Patricia Arquette sort of midlife crisis comes about. Yeah. And
she was spectacular. I haven't seen her in anything for a long old time.
Well, she's
maybe she's been just doing this exclusively for 12 years. but I doubt it. No, but she was excellent. Really, really good.
Yeah, I think it was great. It really interesting. And also his daughter, I think, was very good.
Yeah.
Laurie Lee Linklater. God, that's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Laurie Lee Linklater, yeah.
That is Buddy having another toy in the background. And this has got amazing reviews. Is it just because of the gimmick of it that it's got good reviews, do you think? Because on IMDb, it's got a 9 rating. The Metascore is really, really high as well, 99. And then it isn't Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, I don't know if it's fair to call it a gimmick. I know what you mean, but it is a marketing sales point that clearly everyone's talked about. But it is also a brilliant artistic tool to tell the story as well. Like, it's always a bit arresting when you watch a kid performance and it turns out to be great in a film and you're really enjoying it, and then they go 10 years later and they change actor. And you never carry on in your head the story of that first kid to this person.
Yeah.
You just start again and you go, oh, it's a different actor now, and you just wipe the slate clean. But with this, you can't. You don't. I think it is worth the praise. Like, it's a very brave thing to have attempted, and I think he's succeeded really well. And if you look at Richard Linklater's CV, he's done some really different films as well. Like, things you really wouldn't expect. Like, School of Rock is him.
That's a great film.
It is a brilliant film, but completely different genre.
Oh, he did Before Sunset and Before Midnight and Before... So that's why he knows Ethan Hawke. Your Dazed and Confused, which I think is a really underrated sort of coming-of-age film. So he knows that... He knows the sort of coming-of-age things, which are a bit... That's a sort of similar theme of his stuff.
Yeah. But then to do such a... To use a dirty word, you know, commercial film as School of Rock is... You know, it's a perfectly executed film, I think. I think it should be one of those sort of childhood classic comedies that are celebrated as a new one, you know, a post-80s one.
I love
Elf or something, you know.
Someone posted a picture recently of them having a get-together with the whole band.
How old are they now?
School of Rock came out in 2003, so it's 11 years. So all like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're all like in their 20s now.
That's weird.
And never relived the hype that they had at that moment.
None of them have become the new Jack Black since that.
No.
It didn't launch them.
But I did enjoy the film. I thought it was interesting. And the cinema, I went to see this at the New Art House Cinema in Crouch End. It was packed. I'll tell a lie. It's not. It was the other films I went to see that was empty. And people seem to enjoy it. It was a little bit over long, I thought, coming in at about 1,000 hours. I don't know how many hours it was. But how many days would you give it?
That, you know, it's really tough. I really enjoyed the experience of it, and I really liked all of the characters. Like, you really, really get to know them, and I don't think I've had that experience in the same way with any other film, really. I think it's got to be a 9 or 10, to be honest.
Well, I give it 8.
Okay, what's it dropped it for?
Because I found it tedious towards the end.
Okay.
I found him really boring.
But I still find it honest. I think I would have felt betrayed by the film if he'd suddenly become some sexy, cool guy. Like, it spoke to me as being true. Like, teenagers are, when they're discovering their own voice and their own sort of thoughts and the hypocrisy of everything, they do become dull for a while.
I thought he was dull for... The second half of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a pretty dull boy. As I mentioned, you pick someone good looking, guys, they're dull. Always remember that, girls. Okay? Good looking ones, dull. Never have to develop any personality. Not like you, buddy. You're good looking and you've got a nice personality. That's me talking to a dog, and he's getting frisky now. he'll sniff my groin again.
Oh, in this hot weather, definitely.
Yeah. It is 165 minutes, so just under 3 hours. So it's a long old epic.
It is, it is.
It must be odd for the actors watching themselves at age, because Patricia Arquette has a bit, I found really foxy at the start.
Mm.
And she says she did.
But I was wondering if that was intentional, because...
Maybe.
It's quite soon after the start that she starts to get huskier.
Yeah.
But who knows, yeah.
But she was foxing at the end as well.
Yeah. Actors put, you know, they get rid of the weight when they need to, don't they?
Yeah.
In their private lives, they're all fat.
I wish I could be an actor one day.
Well, you're fat in your private life, so you're halfway there.
Thanks. Okay, so go and watch Boyhood at the cinema. It's probably stopped showing at the cinema now. So wait 6 months till it comes out on
yeah.
video.
Yeah, and if you've seen it already, why not tell us what you think? You can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or write something on a Facebook wall, not just about Boyhood, anything you like, really. Link to things you've found. Why not? Facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us, @filmfandango, or in person, @MrDavidReed, or @MarekLarwood.
I'll tell you what, though.
What is that?
If I want to contribute to the making of this podcast, because we're self-funded and we rely on donations to help us keep going, we really appreciate it if you donate. You can do that on the filmfandango.co.uk website. Thank you very much, everyone who's donated in our business.
Yes, thank you. That's the only way we can keep doing this. Cool.
Now, I was trying to find a film to watch. There's nothing on TV. So I looked on the... Amazon Prime started now.
Yes.
So Love Film.
The new name of Love Film. Because obviously, Love Film is not as good a name as Amazon Prime.
Really weird.
It's really strange. It's really... You know, I sort of appreciate the fact, even though Tesco's have bought Blinkbox, they haven't suddenly called it Tesco Shelf or something, because I wouldn't want to just go, oh, what's on Tesco Shelf at the moment?
So I got free membership of Amazon Prime for a month to see if it had changed. And to be honest, I've seen most of the films and the section was pretty rubbish. Yeah. So the one I picked to go and watch, which I almost went to see at the cinema, because the trailer looks quite good and quite classy, Now You See Me.
Yes, I've seen this as well.
What is it about?
Now You See Me, it seemed an intriguing concept. It is a heist movie, basically, but where the heist is being performed by professional magicians. I mean, I would go and see that, whoever was in it, whoever had made it. That sounds great. And this one stars Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, and James Franco's brother. But it's also got Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and as a policeman, Mark Ruffalo. Good cast, right? Pretty good cast.
It is... Let's just get this out of the way, early doors. To our 10-year-old listener, I'm going to swear now, and everyone else with children in the car, or whatever, I'm going to swear. I'm going to drop an F-bomb.
Okay.
This was a fucking load of shit. Sorry, one. But that's the only way I can put it. I tried to continue watching this film 3 or 4 times, and it actually started getting worse.
Mm.
You've got... is it tongue-in-cheek to start off with?
That's the thing. You don't... It can't work itself out. The idea in itself is great. It's a great premise for a movie.
The trailer looks really good. You watch the trailer and you go, that looks like a really exciting film. Just watch the trailer and don't ever watch
it. The basic problem with it is... Jesse Eisenberg, who is sort of the ringleader of these four, the four horsemen, they call themselves, because they're clearly not cool people. But he's a magician, and he's explaining to the policeman, Ruffalo, how he can always be two steps ahead of everyone else. And his rule is, always be the smartest guy in the room. And it's like, okay, fine, this film... in any room in the world would not be the smartest film in the room.
I imagine every single actor in this, I mean, all of them, apart from Isla Fisher, maybe, I've seen do really good acting in other films.
Yeah. I like Isla Fisher. I think she's been really good in stuff.
Well, I think they must have gone back to their trailers after doing a scene and just counted their money just to go, well, I just need to make sure...
It's a stupid film. That's the thing. It doesn't have the intelligence to carry off the premise. Because really, for a film about magicians pulling the wool over people's eyes and it's a heist, so how did they do it? That's the heist genre. It's the great thing about the heist genre. You're trying to second-guess the heroes. And this film... isn't clever enough to pull a Usual Suspects on you, basically, which is what it so desperately wants to do all the way through. It wants to use your suspects, its audience. So the whole grand narrative about distraction and what, you know, you're waving your hand over here whilst the real thing's going on over here, and they want to do that with their grand narrative, with the whole story, and they fail spectacularly on this one. It's just pap. It's sort of enjoyable pap along the way. I sort of did enjoy it, but
I didn't finish watching it. I actually said to my TV, I tried to watch it three times, and now you see me. I actually said, no, I don't. And not even a good joke.
Were you alone?
Yeah.
Did you say it to the
room? And the only thing it succeeds in doing is the perpetuating the myth that all magicians are bellend.
It definitely did that. You were in a film that did that, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. My one film appearance after my film appearance in The Inbetweeners 2, as I was informed, has definitely been cut out.
Ah, what?
Yeah, I think I can say it now, because the director wrote to me. But
what I loved, actually, just this is the level of stupidity, I thought, which I found very funny, was Morgan Freeman's entire character. He is a magician debunker, and he just follows these magicians around revealing how their tricks are done. Now, debunkers exist, but they debunk mystics, as in people who claim to actually have magical powers and are taking advantage of people by doing so, mediums and psychics and so on. So debunkers do exist. Debunkers don't go around to Derren Brown going, "You don't have real magic!" Because he never claims to. That's not a thing. It's not someone's job to go around magic shows and spoil it for everyone. Like, that, nobody does that as a job. It's like they classically misunderstood what that was.
Yeah,
like they really haven't done their reading on this.
But it looks really glitzy, and they've done quite a good job with the production values of it.
Yeah, but the shows within the film, the magic shows, are so boring. You just go, I don't know why they're so popular, these magicians in this.
It's quite rubbish.
Just standing around on the stage talking about stuff that's happening off stage.
And if you ever watch any of these actors like Jesse Eisenberg or Mark Ruffalo or Woody Harrelson, thinking, they're brilliant, I can never do what they do.
Yeah.
Just watch this film and you think, oh yeah, maybe I could become a sort of multi-million earning actor.
Yeah, if I was lucky, I think I could probably do it.
It's all of them catch slightly wrong. So Jesse Eisenberg, he normally treads that path of being a geek on the right side, so he's not annoying.
Mm.
And this is really annoying. Woody Harrelson's sort of just pervy and weird.
Well, his
and Mark Ruffalo's almost bordering on retarded at points for a police officer.
Well, they really lay on the he isn't clever enough to follow what they're doing. They lay that on thick.
And Melanie Laurent, who is
where do I know her from?
She Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, that's where it is.
Who is brilliant in that?
She's wonderful in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, in this she just plays someone French. That's it.
Yeah,
the director's gone. Do you know what? What's your character? What is ma character? That's me doing the French thing.
It's
just French. What do you mean? No, it's just do French.
Do French.
That's not a character. Yeah, yeah, just put on a French voice and that French.
And we'll say Interpol every now and again.
Yeah. Tedious. Don't even do what I did. Give up halfway through. Was it worth watching the... I watched the first 2/3 of it. Was it worth watching the last third?
Well, the thing is, as I predicted...
Excuse me, I'm putting sugar in my coffee. People who like to moan about, there's no milk.
Do you want milk?
I'll just carry on. Let's just finish this podcast.
As the film so clearly wanted to do, it had to have a big reveal at the end, and it's got one. And boy, does it make no sense. It elevates itself to Nicolas Cage movie levels of stupid at the end of this film. And that almost redeems it, actually, in going, oh, it's just a film for complete idiots or people who are drunk. Oh, I see. But it doesn't work. It's not. It wants to be Seven, and it's actually Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
I didn't watch it, so I can't mark it out of 10. How
you
many?
You can mark it out of 5, though, can't you?
I thought it was on course of being like a 3 or possibly a 4 film.
I think having watched the whole thing, it's probably a 4.
Okay. So do not watch that.
unless you want to sit through something that's sort of charmingly glossy and utterly rubbish.
Yeah. It would box office 75. If budget was 75 million, and in the States it took 117 million. I think someone said they're going to make another one. So that's something else to it. Oh, so annoying. When's something good going to happen?
One day.
Anyway, we're doing a shorter one this week.
Yeah, that's us for this week. We'll be back next week with yet another film. It's getting close to the Edinburgh Festival. It will have started next week, so we'll be quite busy. But we'll still get an episode out to you good people. Yes, we'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.